Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Lot to talk about with this thing, because here's the problem with the offensive line. You want to know what it is?
Everything.
Williams in trouble and he goes down. Will Anderson was there, part of the combo platter at the quarterback.
And there again. Bring pressure. Williams trying to escape. Able to do it once. Able to do it twice, but finally brought down. Chased down by Derek Barnett. He couldn't escape. And the Texans get to him for a sack. Play clock running. Fake to Swift. Oh. Everything's covered. Will Anderson brings down Williams at midfield.
Boy, the Bears really need a play here. They just need to get something jump started.
Comes the pressure again. Williams goes down. Sacked at the one by Mario Edwards. 3-5. Williams hit. Sacked by Danielle Hunter. And the first meeting of these two rookie quarterbacks. Final score, Houston 19, Chicago 13.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Happy Bears Monday.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Well, that looks closer than it was. I don't know how to view that game, Mr. David. Holy guacamole.
Morning, Mully. Yes, good Monday morning. That was a 19-13 rout
that
of the
Bears.
That
was a six-point rout.
A one-possession game that was not a one-possession game. That was two teams. Nationally televised audience down in Houston, and you saw the difference between the team that's rebuilding and the one that's rebuilt.
I got to tell you, had they scored at the end of the game, right? They weren't going to, but had they scored, then that kicker would have just kicked a 70-yard field goal to win the game.
What is going on with NFL kickers?
What is going on? There were 5 50-yard field goals in that game.
The 50-yard field goal is the new extra point. It's like automatic. Sometimes you need the camera doink, a little help.
Can the Bills now be awarded a Super Bowl for what could have been, would have been, should have
been?
This
is not the Scott Norwood era.
I'm just saying.
This is the Morton Anderson era.
I always thought that Scott Norwood got a bad rap because that was a longer field goal than you thought.
You look around the league, we'll get the numbers, and this is sort of beside the point, but it was applicable to that game last night. When you were within a 50-yard field goal, you were like, were automatic. You were counting 3 points because it seems so effortless.
Yeah,
So, and that was the way I think the Texans looked against the Bears. It wasn't effortless, but it was easy. It was much easier than the score indicated. Give the Bear defense credit for showing up and making their impact in the second half.
Yeah.
But the Bears have problems offensively, beginning with the offensive line, extending to Caleb Williams, and going to everything in between, because that's a very broken offense.
What do you think is the bigger problem for the Bears? Is it the obvious problems all over the offensive line, or the fact that they just challenged another call for no reason?
Well, that was...
What was that?
That was letting your players, and that was a coach letting his players kind of get the best of him and succumbing to peer pressure. There was no reason to challenge either play.
That was a ridiculous... To have two challenges that bad and have them... With no evidence other than someone's will.
Let's start with the Kyler Gordon one. Let's go backward. Let's start with the second challenge.
Okay.
Kyler Gordon was gesturing wildly to the sideline, it appeared.
I caught that.
Yeah. So, but the player is never right.
When do you listen?
The camera never lies.
Since when do you listen to the player?
You don't listen to the player.
No.
You ignore the player. It's like a child wanting to stay up past his bedtime or wanting another ice cream cone. You just ignore it. If you're a coach, you're a parent, you say no. And they said yes, and they cost a timeout.
But that would have been really cool if it counted. That's not a reason to challenge.
It would have been really cool. It would have been a highlight reel material. But it hit the ground, Kyler.
It hit the ground twice.
It hit the ground twice. That was that one. The other one wasn't even close either.
No.
And it happened right in front of him. How do you miss that?
Don't know.
I don't know what he's looking at. I don't know what they're looking at.
Well, he was bobbling it when the one leg wasn't down. I don't know what he was thinking, but that's a great way to lose timeouts and challenges, etc.
But they did not necessarily...
It didn't really matter. They got beaten up too
bad. They weren't out of that game because they lost the challenges. They lost that game because they were beaten up at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And the Texan defense, as we talked about all week,
yes,
they are elite from the edge. Those two pass rushers, Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter is a monster.
They both made their impact felt and the presence felt in a big way. And the Bears offensive line was overmatched and
Mario
overwhelmed.
Mario Edwards Jr., why'd you let him out of here? Right? I mean, you could use that guy. Hey, can we have him at halftime? He's
been around a lot of teams.
He's been around, and he's been good. I didn't know he was that good. I think he was playing a pretty bad player.
I think that had a lot to do with it. The Bears' offensive line looks like it is in need of reinforcement. The problem is, it's not like you can go out and find an offensive tackle on the street or an offensive guard on the street. The Bears' offensive line had a bad weekend, beginning with the Ryan Bates injury news.
Oh,
he's out for at least 4 weeks. And then at what point will he be conditioned and ready and able to help?
Yeah. They need him at two different spots on the line, and he's not available to them.
Well,
I don't even know if he can play,
that's
David.
That's the thing. That's what I was going to slightly correct you there. I don't know if they need him.
Well, they need
help at two different spots.
Wherever
at least
they were planning on playing him, they need help.
I would challenge anybody to look at the tape again if they're able to do so this morning and call in, text in, come on over to the studio, 9th floor of the Prudential Building, and show us evidence of any offensive lineman that had a good night. You can't find it.
No.
You can't find it.
But there were degrees of awful. And honestly, there were. And unfortunately, there were about 3 degrees too awful to be able to win in the NFL.
That was a sloppy game by the offensive line specifically.
Yeah.
Overall, the Bears had their issues. The game operation was shoddy.
You knew it was going to be, though, because it's so loud down there, and there were first away game. I mean, there were built-in problems. Let's put it that way.
But correct me if I'm wrong. And you guys, I thought, and we weren't there, obviously. Mm. Looking forward to talking to Bigsy at 7:25 Bigs time this morning. It felt like, it sounded like there were a lot of Bears fans there.
Yeah, there were some Bears fans.
It sounded like that wasn't as hostile of an environment as it could have been.
And the building was open.
The roof was open.
You could see the moon.
The ceiling was the roof.
And I'm sure that several times Caleb Williams was laying there thinking, good night, moon.
Houston, we have a problem. My goodness sakes, that was bad. Yeah, it was bad. But
wasn't good.
You have to anticipate these things. This isn't a young offensive line.
It's not a good one either. And I mean,
well, that's the point.
You just said you have to anticipate. The time to fix the line is long over. It is. It's behind you by a mile. There is no chance to turn back time and to go back. You what? This is what you're left with. This is where you're at. And I would seriously be thinking about trying people out. I would seriously be thinking about moving Tevin Jenkins. I would seriously be thinking about attempting to get Kieran Omagaji not just ready to play, but maybe ready to play a different position.
Well, I think you have to consider a lot of different options. No, there's no such thing as a bad idea right now because you're that bad. And you were overmatched, and you appear desperate now because of what you don't have in terms of depth. And I feel like this week the conversation will start here, but it's going to veer into territory that starts to wonder about Caleb Williams in a lot of ways. And I understand that. And yes. I think that when you look last night and you see him missing throws that he would typically make or you expect him to make based on the hype and based on the preseason, but what you're running into if you're Ryan Poles – you have now, you gave your rookie quarterback all the receiving help he could want.
Yeah.
The problem is that you have neglected the infrastructure, so he's going to be running for his life and unable to take advantage of those toys. Yeah. You can't play with the toys because he's not going to be able to. He can't really do anything on his back.
A friend of mine texted me and said, does he know it's not the Sun Devils that they're actually going to catch him when he takes off? I mean, it was rough.
He's trying, though.
Oh, he's trying.
He led the Bears in rushing. I think that's a very telling statistic. You got a quarterback, again, leading your team in rushing. At some point in time, this Bears regime is going to address the offensive line in a big way.
Yeah, you might want to try working in a different running back here and there as well. No offense to anyone, but it's not working. And you've got a lot of running backs on the roster, and I'm not talking about Velus Jones. So feel free to try to get someone else lathered up if the guy you got can't get.
You really think that Swift is part of the problem?
I don't think it's his fault. I just think that they're not getting anything done. And and it seemed like Khalil Herbert scored a touchdown at one point. And we don't have a book yet because they're not out, but I don't know how many carries he had in the game. If you blinked, you kind of missed
Khalil Herbert?
Yeah.
Two carries, 3 yards.
Well,
yeah,
that's not enough.
DeAndre Swift, 14 carries, 18 yards. Travis Homer, why is he so often on my television
What's
screen?
What's wrong with Roshan Johnson? Is he hurt? He wasn't on the
He took a blow.
He got punched in the face.
He got punched in the face.
But he did look at the guy funny.
No, he didn't.
What was that?
That was inexcusable. That is inexcusable. Yeah. If you can have technology to review everything, that's what I wanted.
They're not allowed to throw a flag if they see that. The guy got up and punched
the guy in the face.
And the guy was standing there. He didn't lay a hand on him.
How many officials do you have on site? How many do you have in the booth? Nobody saw that? That guy had to be – you get ejected for –
I also thought Caleb Williams took a couple shots on the sideline, honestly. And it was almost like, well, it's open season. He's a rookie. Get your shot.
Yeah, wait until you accomplish something, Rook, and then we'll maybe give you the benefit of the doubt. Now, I do think that there was one. I know one you're talking about. It was a little bit late.
Yes.
The one that incited the melee, I do think it looked worse than it was, only because it wasn't a helmet-to-helmet hit.
I know, but throw a flag.
You could have gotten away with throwing a flag.
Yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily one that was obvious when you looked at the replay.
It was obvious when he stood up and punched a guy.
Well, then you should have thrown a flag.
That's right.
But I'm talking about the hit itself.
I agree.
Hitting
with
Caleb Williams looked worse than it was.
Yeah.
Then I thought the best moment on a night full of awful ones for the Bear offensive line was when they sprung to Caleb Williams' defense.
Yes.
And Darnell Wright was in his face, the defender's face, and then the guy punched Roshan Johnson.
Yes. It was the only hit he took on the night.
But boy, he took it well. Yes. Hearing himself a carry with that.
Guy's got a strong chin.
But how does that guy not ejected?
I don't know.
How is he not ejected?
And what happens after the fact? What do they do about it?
They're going to fine him.
Well, I know. There's also, the Bears are going to get a fine for a drop hip tackle. That will, upon reflection, be given a fine.
You mean the one on Mixon?
Yes.
I know that technically that would be a one what it, they're it, trying to they, eliminate.
They're trying to eliminate.
Tell me how that works.
They will come back after the fact, and they will. It's the swinging of the body.
I know.
So his legs go around. You know what it is.
I know what it is.
How much do you want to make a $5 bet that they will, in retrospect, fine him for that?
I will bet you that they will fine, was it the defender who punched Roschon Johnson?
Yes.
I'll bet you that they will fine him, and I don't think they fine.
I'll bet you $5.
Is it T.J. Edwards? Who tackled Joe Mixon on that?
It was T.J. Edwards, and I'm going to bet you $5.
All right, I'll bet you $5 they don't.
Five American dollars. Just because the two boys wouldn't stop talking about it.
They kept talking about it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's got to be one of the drop hip tackles.
And they kept explaining it, and here's what he did wrong, and they showed it like three times, and I thought, well, that's it.
We talked about this at the time.
Here comes the dollars.
I think they're making it so hard to tackle anybody.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he's so hard to get a guy. Joe Mixon carried 30 times a week ago for 160 yards. He, last night, was limited because of that injury, but yeah, I don't know how else you're going to bring a guy like that down. You do whatever you can. You grab cloth.
No,
scratch a claw.
I'm not arguing about whether or not it should have been a legal hit. I'm just telling you what they're going to do.
It'll be enforced.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because it is one of their points of enforcement.
Once they watch the tape
again.
And then
they missed it. Yes.
Well, the Bears are going
to looking for.
Have a long tape session whenever they go through that thing.
Yeah.
That was a long night.
I hope
offensively.
I hope to God that you hear some of that stuff this week. I don't think you can keep letting things go. And I don't know how intensely the watch. Here's what happened last week. They had an atrocious mistake made by Velus Jones. And the coach said after the game that he was proud of him. And then upon further reflection, as the week went on, you had a coordinator come out and say that it was inexcusable. And then the guy got benched, as he should have been. And why? Because it was inexcusable. So you finally got to that. They need to talk about what's going on with this offensive line. They really just do. Because it's going to be hard to win many games if they can't protect anything. And,
I don't disagree.
That's a coordinator. That's a defensive guy that does not do a lot of blitzing. Right now, there are guys that are future opponents of the Bears that are just
you're talking about
D'Amico
Ryans. D'Amico Ryans is not a blitzer.
No, but what did he do?
They blitzed
like hell.
Well, the Bears have a real dangerous combination. And dangerous for them.
Invitation to blitz.
A rookie quarterback with a bad offensive line that can't protect and gets overwhelmed up the middle, but also can't really protect the edges. That's bad.
Other than that,
things are going quite well. Yeah. But this is where you're right about the offensive line group needs to be coached up, as they say. But yeah. I also think that there are schematic ways that you can protect your offensive line from itself, but that we haven't seen yet. Or we haven't seen executed well, because you can move the pocket more than the Bears are moving the pocket. They seem hell-bent on proving that Caleb Williams can be a pocket passer. And there were times in the first half where he did quite well doing that. But the longer the game went on, the more the pocket collapsed. You can't do that, Shane Waldron, and settle for that. He's a sitting duck.
Oh, he's a sitting duck.
And you need to mix in some misdirection. Yeah. Whatever happened to the waggle pass, the bootleg, naked or otherwise, I think that has been missing from this offense through two games. And they have stunk as a result. Their two-game output offensively in terms of yardage is historically bad.
Yeah,
I think there's only three teams that have had fewer yards in the first two games. You have to check out the Mark Potash stat, but it's a bad one.
Mm.
So, Mully, I think that you're right. They need to look at it with clear eyes and make and hold people accountable. But I don't know, in terms of personnel, what they're going to do or where they can turn.
Listen, here's the deal. You know, unfortunately, you are going to have to max protect because you can't protect. You're going to have to run like two receiver routes because you can't send everybody out when there's no chance of the ball getting out. Because the When your front five can't block five, you got a problem.
You got a problem. It's a numbers game. Football is math. And so if you have one guy that is making let's look at left tackle. Braxton Jones had he didn't have as bad of a night as maybe Darnell Wright.
Listen,
but it wasn't a good one.
He wasn't good, and I'm not either saying
side.
He was good.
Well, we could pick a tackle. It doesn't matter
who
side.
Who was good? This is the problem.
I don't think that you can find an offensive
Braxton
lineman.
Braxton Jones might have been the best worst offensive lineman. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't think any of them played well.
Yeah, I don't either, because I think even
center
saying that
can't play.
You look at
the guards are awful.
Will Anderson, they pressured 26 times. We have to look at the pressures, the numbers, because the numbers and the stats they make the Texans look like the defense that everyone should fear moving forward. And I think that when you look at the Bears defense, it played at a high level in the second half, and it kept them in that football game. It's remarkable to me. We'll talk about it. It's remarkable to me that they had the ball with a chance to win at the end of the game. It was one. They were one touchdown away from taking the lead and winning the game.
I mean,
like
I said,
but
even if they had scored a touchdown, that guy would have kicked the 70-yard field goal and been over. Did you ever doubt that fact?
I never thought the Bears were going to win that game.
No.
And not
That's
after
right.
the result
they were in a
unfold.
Position. Yeah.
They were in a position because of the Bears' defense. The Bears' defense played at a high level. They made their adjustments at halftime. Whatever they seem to do in the second half is working. The secondary met its match last night athletically. Boy, those receivers are good.
Yeah,
they're
very good.
Nico Collins, goodness sakes.
Nico Collins, it was interesting because we talked to Clint Sterner, who does a morning show in Houston, and Pat asked him, you know, which of the receivers is the best, and he, without hesitation, said it was Nico Collins. Said that his size-speed ratio, he was such a big man. I'll tell you what, he was spot on.
He's spot on, and you look at Stephon Diggs, still can get open.
Yep.
Still can make the big play. Tank Dell is the other element that every passing game needs.
Yep.
And C.J. Stroud has that special quality. He can buy himself time and still throw accurately.
Oh, my God. His accuracy is incredible.
And let's hope, let's hope that a year from now you're able to say similar things about Caleb Williams, whose first two games in the NFL have been rough.
Yeah.
They have been rough. And to say that he has fallen short of expectations is a bit of an understatement.
I mean, you're totally right.
And you know nobody's a bigger fan and wants to see him succeed more than I do, more than we do.
But you got to be
honest about it.
Fair and sober about everything going on. No question
about it. The reason is because he's not been protected. Everyone can understand that, I hope. I hope everyone can understand that.
Yeah.
But I fear that there will be a jump. There will be a race and jumping to conclusions and saying, "Well, maybe he's not that special." Did you see the way he missed DJ Moore in that last throw?
I thought he improved from one week over the next, but I thought being on the road didn't help him.
It's just
tough on the road. That's a raucous crowd. I know there were Bear fans there, and I heard them, but there were more Houston fans there, and I heard them, and I wonder how much confusion was aided by that. There were a couple of delay of game penalties where you're just like looking at the clock, like you got to snap the ball.
Game operation was really rushed and harried, and it wasn't really as smooth as you would want it.
And how many penalties were there for the
12?
12
penalties
for each team.
Well, 12 for the Bears. That game had no rhythm,
Yeah,
and then they had the long delay when the guy on the chain gang fell over the yard marker. That was scary because he landed on his head.
12 for the Texans for 115 yards. It says here there were 9 for 60 yards for the Bears. This is just looking at the book. So I don't know if they had more. Felt like they had more. But, I mean, 12 penalties for 115 yards? That's a touchdown. 100 yards is a touchdown.
Yeah, it's not
That's
good.
That's insane. It's crazy. There were just so many penalties, and you're right. The Bears' operation wasn't good, but neither was Houston's. They I mean, it was just weird. Some of the dumbass penalties.
It looked like a game that was played in early September.
Tunsil,
mid-September.
Did he jump off sides yet? I mean, that guy, what are you doing? That guy's a good player.
He hasn't looked that shaky since draft night.
I thought he looked pretty relaxed. All right. We've got so much to get to. We've got the pick six next. We're going to pick apart the game and all the other stories of the weekend. And we're going to do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I do. Visit feelgreatillinois.com. Learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. Does the Bears' 19-13 loss at Houston look closer on paper than it was when you watched the game? Is there any part of you that surprised Caleb Williams managed to even finish this one? Walk off the field on his own. Did he take way too many big hits?
Oh, God, he took way too many big hits. You don't have that many big hits in you, man. You've got to protect him. I, honest to God, I was impressed that he survived the game. And that is nothing you want to be happy about. He took hit after hit. He was sitting on the sideline. He looked like he'd been through hell, for God's sake. He just got his rear end kicked. They seemed to be able to get to him whenever they wanted. They blitzed the whole night long. Just way too many hits, and the Bears couldn't move the ball at all. You know, it's a miracle they had one touchdown drive that they managed to put together, and then it was 50-yard field goal. So they were not in. They were not ever. You're right. At the end of the game, they technically had the ball and a chance to take the lead. They could have technically won the game, but I think it would have been miraculous if they had done that. And I was kind of secretly hoping that that his ability as a great competitor that had his best at the end of a game would somehow emerge. But I didn't really think he was going to get enough protection for that to happen.
I would agree. It does look nicer on paper than the actual eye test that we all gave that last night. And in particular, just two really quick, right before the hit he takes – and this wasn't because he got sacked. He ran the ball, felt the pressure when they got close to the goal line before the Herbert TD. That was a hell of a shot he took. And then you guys did a great job referencing it during the first segment, that what started that little brouhaha. You know, he was the worst part is that he slowed down to go out of bounds and the guy put his shoulder through him. That was what was so brutal about that play.
And then he lost his balance and then everything else kind of ensued. But Caleb Williams, make no mistake, he is a tough guy. He can take a hit. And when he took a hit from Will Anderson or whatever pass rusher was not blocked, you come free and you hit your rookie quarterback, your franchise quarterback still. Yeah, you hold your breath if you're a Bears fan. And he got up on that last drive we're talking about. He got hit and then he had to get up and regain his composure to try to win the ball game. Because let's go back and be realistic here. The minute 37 left, on the 20-yard line, Caleb Williams has the ball, and the Bears' offense is down 6. There will be a day. There will be a day where that is an invitation to win the game, and there will be an expectation that they'll come through in the clutch. They're not there yet. They're light years away from that point. Because they can't protect the passer, who they think once they do protect, he's going to be elite. He's not elite yet. In two games, he certainly right now is just a rookie quarterback trying to find his footing. Right now, he's coming off a game where he was sacked 7 times and probably feels this morning like it was 17. He was battered by by a pass rush that knew how to get to him, that overwhelmed the Bears' offensive line. And, yeah, it felt more like 29-13 than 19-13.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
7:25 this morning is Biggs time. Do you imagine every future Bears opponent is plotting out their blitz packages for Caleb Williams? Can you weigh the reasons for the 7 sacks he took? Do you blame another wretched performance from the offensive line, the offensive coordinator, or does Williams need some of the blame as well for failing to protect himself?
I think that's the appropriate order. The offensive line was overmatched. The tackles could not handle the edge rushers and Hunter and Anderson. I don't think the guards and the center, that trio, didn't really do anything to say they couldn't come up the middle. They couldn't run the ball. But yes, DeMeco Ryans has given every Bear opponent reason to believe they can pressure the Bears and make the pocket wilt and collapse and disappear. That is Shane Waldron's challenge. Now Shane Waldron has to counter some way schematically to protect the quarterback from all the free rushers, all the blitzers. It will take maybe Keenan Allen's return, or maybe you get Roma Dunze unleashed. I don't know. Yeah, last night it was DJ Moore, and it was DeAndre Carter, and you have to find one way to beat a blitz is not necessarily always going to the screen pass, but somebody gets beat in one-on-one coverage. But you have to throw the ball down the field. Remember what that looks like? A downfield pass? The Bears don't because they haven't done it in two games. I know you need time to throw the ball down the field, but it's all related. Also, you've got how many tight ends that you – the Gerald Everett experience is really something that's been unsatisfying for two games. They really love him. Shane Waldron's really fascinated by Gerald Everett. How about using him as an extra blocker because he can't protect the quarterback? There are ways to protect your quarterback and give him more time. So it's shared responsibility, but I would go offensive line, offensive coordinator, and then the quarterback as the reasons why you're getting sacked so much.
Mully, you warned us all early in the week getting ready for this one, saying that these two tackles are going to be on notice. Like in week one, the three inside guys were on notice. That was strength versus a weakness, and unfortunately it played out that way. Offensive line first, then the offensive coordinator. Eberflus has to also get a little bit of this blame with the OC, lack of committing to the run. You guys had a pregame show guest on that said that you can run the ball on this team if you will commit to it. There was no commitment to the run last night.
I'm just looking at the statistics. So you got, you know, Danielle Hunter with a sack and a half, two tackles for loss, and two quarterback hits. You got Will Anderson with a sack and a half, two tackles for loss, two quarterback hits. So they had seven sacks, and you look at that and you're like, oh my God, how many times are you going to hit the guy? They hit him 11 times. There were 11 quarterback hits. You know, you're not going to have much of a throwing night if you're going to get your clock cleaned every time you even attempt to throw a pass. I mean, he was running for his life on a lot of those plays. And sometimes they caught him and sometimes they didn't. But for the most part, I'm saying losses.
I know.
I mean, for the most part, that was a lot of hits for a young lad to take in a football game. That was ridiculous. I got to go right to the offensive coordinator. I got to find out why you didn't establish the run, why you didn't spend more time with the running game, why didn't you try to take pressure? I guess the answer is they couldn't get a first down running the ball, right? If you look at the numbers that they produced. But explain to me how other teams are able to run in those situations and the Bears can't.
Caleb Williams threw 37 passes. On 36 of them, the Texans brought pressure, and on 17 of those, Anderson and Hunter were the ones applying the pressure. Think about that. It's 37 passes, 36 times they dialed up the blitz.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You have way more questions than answers.
That's the voice of Olin Krutz. He'll be here at 7. Did the Bears defense have a good or a bad night? Is it that simple in either or to you, or what changed in the second half?
I can't figure out why it takes them a half to sort of figure out what they want to get done in the game, but it feels really good that they can at least adjust. And so to open the game, I was literally thinking like, ruh-roh, these guys can really complete some passes. This quarterback is unbelievably accurate. When you really think about all the other things that he can do, and he threw on the run, and he's accurate as a passer. So he completed some passes when he was under duress. And it was pretty extraordinary. There were a couple of times where even when he was kind of throwing the ball away, or even he was under pressure and he wasn't going to throw it, he threw like a back shoulder fade that could have been caught by only one guy. It was the guy that didn't catch it and went out of bounds. I'm telling you, he's special. That is really, there's a lot of really impressive things to watch about that quarterback. And he did, C.J. Stroud's a really good player, and he won. I mean, he won a lot of those battles. I thought the Bears' defense kept them in the game. They got a really timely takeaway where they got a fumble down on the whatever, 3-yard line, whatever it was. That prevented points. You knew the offense wasn't going to be able to do anything with that. But nonetheless, they have a punter that can change the field position pretty well. And I tell you what, you should be impressed by that defense, because that is a top 5 defense in the NFL. They're going to get there.
I was impressed for sure. And I think the drive that really, at the end of the day, ruined it was the fact that after the Bears got that touchdown, that they then went right down the field again and got that field goal right before the half.
Yeah,
you take that out of the equation, maybe things are a little bit different. But, yeah, I think the Bears' defense is pretty good.
I do, too. We're going to look back at this game, I think, at some point during the season, and this is maybe a overly optimistic projection, but I think we may all look at, like, wow, remember how much we overreacted to the Bears' one-possession loss to the best team in the AFC. And I do wonder, with due respect to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who survived yesterday again, we'll get to that, but the Texans look like an understandable trendy Super Bowl pick because they're that good. And the defense took a half to maybe adjust and recalibrate because C.J. Stroud is that special. Joe Mixon was coming off a great game. He had an injury that limited him, but the Bears found a way to limit his effectiveness. It's difficult to overreact too much or get too concerned with Tyrique Stevenson had a rough night, I think at least a rough first half. Nico Collins was a step up in class to anybody he saw in the opener. Nico Collins is a younger, healthier DeAndre Hopkins clone. And he's a guy that can be a problem because he's so big, fast, and physical. And he made his presence felt. That's why he had 8 catches for 135 yards.
Wow.
But this Bear defense, they got the takeaway. They prevented it from being more of a blowout. They kept their team in the game. It just left me wondering, how good could this defense be if it ever got a lead and could ever just pin its ears back, rush the passer, wreak havoc, and do what they do? Wow.
Coming out hot with the hot question, but
there he is, DJ Moore. We talked to DJ at 8 this morning. Were you in any way surprised to see Velus Jones on the inactive list? What about Rome Odunze being active, Keenan Allen inactive? Which was the bigger surprise?
Yeah, we called the Velus Jones thing last week. They had to hold him accountable, and that's the way that you do that. I'm kind of sick of talking about Velus Jones, to be honest with you.
I'm proud of him.
I was surprised Keenan Allen didn't play and Rome Odunze did. I think we talked on Friday about erring on the side of caution with Odunze. He did play, as they pointed out during the broadcast, almost every snap, it seemed. He could have made a great catch in the end zone on that little floater that Caleb Williams put only where Rome Odunze could get it. That would have been a great way to cap the night. I guess it's good that he came back. He's a fast healer, as we said, a tough guy. Keenan Allen, not sure what to make of that. He's 32 years old with a bad heel. They can't really explain how he injured himself or how long he'll be gone. Did not expect week 2 for him to be inactive. That's a problem. That's a problem. We can't rave about the weapons that the Bears have if they're not available to Caleb Williams. So that, to me, was a bigger surprise. I thought the rookie with the MCL sprain, or however you want to describe it, a week ago at this time, we thought, well, 2 or 3 games. Nuh-uh. He didn't miss a game, so that's good for him. But I'm wondering about Keenan Allen now.
I was surprised that Rome Odunze was out there. I'm glad he was out there. You know, he had a pass, a touchdown pass from Caleb Williams. His hands were on that ball. He should have come down with it. And Caleb, I don't think Caleb missed through it. I think he threw it where only Rome Odunze could get it. It went off his hands. They end up settling for a field goal on that one. But, you know, good for Rome. I like the message sent to Velus Jones, and I'm hoping that Keenan Allen is back for the game against the Colts.
Yeah, Velus Jones, you know, he's on the edge of the team, as simple as that. Rome Odunze, tough guy. That's incredible that injury, as bad as it sounded early and as worried as we were about it and how much time he was going to miss. Maybe, you know, he wins those contested throws. So maybe the injury had something to do. Maybe he didn't get it at the apex of his jump. His timing was, or whatever it was. He did not hang on to the ball, and that's a pity. Keenan Allen was there, and it was on the sidelines, and it was interesting to see the quarterback talking to him at different points. You know, I think they need him a ton. They said on the broadcast that his problem was plantar fasciitis, and it was in the heel. Your plantar fascia runs the length of your foot, and I didn't know what to make of that piece of information. I was kind of.
It's the first time we heard that term applied to his injury.
Exactly correct.
And when you use that, that's a more serious concern as far as the injury.
Yeah.
Bruised heel and plantar fasciitis are two different things.
You know, it's his cleats. His cleats were kind of bugging his foot.
Oh, my gosh.
What is going on? I mean, that's scary stuff. As you say, 32 years old. That guy is such a good route runner. He's such an artist at that. You want him up and available, and you want him teaching that to Roma Dunze and anyone else who is worthy of getting that lesson.
Despite a 6-2 victory on Sunday, did the Cubs effectively see their playoff dream die with their series loss at Colorado? What went wrong in the thin air of Denver, and why did they lose that series?
Boy, that's depressing stuff, frankly. When you know, I did not get to watch the whole game on Friday. I was running around. I couldn't believe when I was checking in on the score that was happening. It was just a letdown. You just felt really disappointed. And, you know, we had talked about who was going to have the best outing. It turns out it was Kyle Hendricks came through with the best outing of the three starts over the weekend. But you've got to take care of business there. The game on Friday is bad. The game on Saturday is inexcusable. And the very idea that you find a way to lose those games at this point in the season, okay, they're only five back. They just what's going on is days off the calendar. Those are missed opportunities. Didn't we agree they could lose two games total and they lost them in the first two games? We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Five back at home, taking on the A's. You'll hear it here tonight. But Friday was bad, as you said, Mully. Saturday was even worse. You're a strike away from winning that game, and you can't get it done. You know, pinch hitters hitting home runs. Again, the men left on base. They left so many people on base. Tip of the cap to Kyle Hendricks, Michael Busch with a couple of home runs yesterday. That obviously helped. PCA had an interesting series. He got plunked. I don't think the Rockies liked his attitude.
You see the way he rounded the bases?
The second time again, did it the same exact way.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see when those two teams get back together. But you turn the page and you hope you come back to Wrigley and you take all three from the Athletics.
What the problem was the bullpen. Nate Pearson comes into the game Friday night. I'm watching the game and they show the stats and he's like giving up 11 homers in 50-some innings. I'm like, he gives up a lot of home runs. I said that out loud. I wish I would have taped it. So he gives up a lot of home runs. Is he the right? Oh, my gosh.
You are responsible for that.
The Malecki. So then watch it Saturday. Porter Hodge comes in. I'm like, not again. Yes, again.
Oh.
The Rockies are going to lose 100 games. You can't lose to those two. You can't lose to that team 2 days in a row. Not when you are having some semblance of a push for a wild card spot. It's fantasy land. The professor delivered, became the first Cub pitcher to go six innings and give up two or fewer runs in that ballpark because of the thin air, all the thin air. But they're exciting to watch, I guess. They're entertaining, more entertaining than exciting. PCA did have quite a weekend. That was cool to see. But I just think they're playing out the calendar. They have an opportunity here to not lose this week as they come home. Homestand against two bad teams, A's and the Nationals. I'm looking for Matt Shaw to come up. I mean, he's got... He went 4-for-4. He's the first Cub organizational player to go 20-20 this year. I would like to see Matt Shaw before the end of the month, Jed Hoyer. I don't know if I'm going to see anything else. They are running out of time. It's September 16th. So bad, bad weekend in Rocky Mountain low.
I'm not going to take any questions.
Ugh.
What was your reaction to White Sox GM Chris Getz saying this about his team's free agent plans during the Friday Sox broadcast?
You know, we're not going to be working heavy in free agency. We've got guys out on the field right now that need to improve their game. A lot of these guys are young players and need to make the adjustments to be more productive.
That audio, NBC Sports Chicago, can they afford not to spend?
They got to get on the same page. They need to unify their message right now. You got the chairman issuing statements but not actually speaking. Or being making himself accessible to questions. You've got Chris Getz last week saying he knew this was happening all along. that they were going to lose 100-some games, but Jerry Reinsdorf was the guy that said that he was elevating Chris Getz because it was a quicker path to the playoffs, and now Chris Getz comes back on the team broadcast and says they're not going to spend, they're going to basically cut costs because that's what 2025 will be about. Welcome 110 losses. That's what you can expect next year if they are going to be as frugal as Chris Getz's comments suggest. Get on the same page. Present a plan. Be respectful to your fan base that is still there. They're still there. Guys, give them something to believe in or to pick apart, but be unified in the message. And right now, it sounds like Chris Getz is not getting bad advice. He's getting no advice on what to say.
Yeah, the timing of this is just horrifically bad. When you're in the run that they're in and the season they're having, and then you tell the fan base on your television broadcast, this is the same thing you're going to see next year. Kids got to learn.
Yeah, you know, you're on it. What have they lost? 115 games now? They've won 35. They won two in a row.
That's two in a row?
First time since late June that they've won two games in a row. First series they've won since late June. The watershed mark is three in a row. So they did that from the 27th to the 29th. Could it happen again? We're all holding our breath on that one. Surely the Cubs should take care of Oakland if they just lost to the White Sox. I got to tell you, this disgusts me. The White Sox, the way they're going about it, they haven't saved enough money. Oh, by the way, Yoan Moncada was in the locker room yesterday, and he's going with them out west. He's going to be with them and rejoining the team today. Woo! First time since April. Thank God. Maybe he can win a few games for you, huh?
Why are they doing that?
He's got a $21 million option, which they're not picking up. So why are they doing that? That's a wonderful question, Mr. David.
Why would he want to do that?
Why would they want to do
why
that?
Why would they want to do they're anything not spending with money, Moncada?
So they're not picking up the $23 million option. Well, you know, you can get whatever, $9,
$5 million to buy him out, correct? It's going to be still pretty... It's going to be money well spent.
Yeah.
Why is he playing, though? Compartmentalize the injury, as they say?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? I mean, is there anything they do that makes any amount of sense?
Well, they're on a two-game win streak.
There you go.
They are.
Yeah, and they're hoping win streak. That some of these young guys can get better so they can trade them.
Brian Ramos has had a good weekend.
Yeah. So what do you got to do with
Sean him? Burke was discovered.
Bench him in place of, you know.
Well, I guess that's going to be the thing. Because he plays third. They have a backlog, a surplus of third basemen.
This when you guys were doing, remember when the Tribune had those shots where people were like thinking, they at one point they went to all these shots. This was what I wanted to be my column logo. Just arms thrown
the
up, mouth wide open.
Appreciate that.
Like, what
people who can't
hell?
See the Twitch stream.
That's what I'm describing.
Yeah.
What the, is all I had. I didn't have much time. I couldn't put it together. I'm
arms
sorry.
Extended.
That's
mouth
the,
agape.
But that's the answer to your
bewildered
question.
Eyes.
Why are they playing him?
Yeah. I never took one of those pictures.
No, I did.
That was before me.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. It was just so many people were kind of thinking about things.
Pondering.
Yeah.
Pondering. Well, you can ponder about the White Sox, but I don't think you're going to get any answers.
No. There's no hope. There is an extra point. We'll get to that next. Molly and Haw on the score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What's the right way for the Bears to address their offensive line crisis? Chalk it up to another play one and the best edge rushing tandems in the NFL? Make as many changes as are feasible or just commit to moving the pocket and coaching Caleb Williams to get rid of the ball quicker? Can that be fixed?
You've got to write it out at this point. There are no Pro Bowl caliber offensive linemen on the street. There are no obvious solutions on other teams. There are no obvious solutions in your building. But you have to be creative in your approach and find the balance between trying different things while understanding that there are limited options. You do have Kurron Amagaji, who is your third-round draft pick at tackle. Maybe you take a look at him. I don't know where he is health-wise. Does anybody? I think you have to consider moving Tevin Jenkins to the right side to at least do something well. I think it's unorthodox, maybe an overreaction, but Tevin Jenkins next to Darnell Wright worked a couple seasons ago, and then they made him a left guard, and they went out and they got Nate Davis, who is here and playing only because, mostly because, Ryan Bates is injured. You have a mandate to fix your offensive line because, or adjust your offensive play calling because it is limiting the growth of your quarterback. And that is a sin you can't commit if you're Shane Waldron. You've got to find a way to schematically help your offensive line protect and to protect your quarterback's health moving forward. Sacked 7 times, felt like 17. Caleb Williams is a tough guy. We don't need to prove it every week. You have an opportunity here with the Packers, or I'm sorry, the Colts defense, to run the football. The Packers gained 261 yards rushing. I'm going to repeat that. 261 yards rushing against the Colts. They had 237 of those in the first half. The Bears can run the ball against the Colts. Run the ball against the Colts. Find a way to set up play action. slow down the pass rush a tick, and, oh, throw the ball down the field so you don't get so many people in the box and every defensive back doesn't feel like he's not going to get beat deep. Try to beat somebody deep. It's a complicated, elaborate plan, but you've got to address something. You can't stand pat.
Cannot stand pat. You know, they'll let us know that Ryan Bates is out and missing. He went on the IR, right? So he's going to miss at least four games. So that's somebody that they were counting on to be part of their starting five. Run the ball against the Colts. Commit to the run. Coach better. Play better. The offensive linemen need to, you know, challenge each other, because that's what you do on an offensive line. You can challenge each other, push each other a little bit. They've just got to get better, and they've got 6 days, I guess, to get that done.
I don't know how much better they can get, and I just hope the opponent becomes worse, right? That's your only hope, is that the Colts are as bad as they looked by losing to Green Bay to Malik Willis. I mean, that is unbelievable. And you're right. The Packers ran the ball, and they found a way to win a game without their quarterback. So it was pretty interesting to see that happen. And I don't know what to say about this problem, because, you know, you want to know how to fix it. Well, you need to find a time machine, build a time machine, and go back. The time to fix it is long gone. You know, the time to fix it is in the off season, and they didn't. They didn't. They made basically one move. They got Ryan Bates, and he was going to be the solve whatever problems they had. And guess what? That didn't work. He's hurt, and he's not going to be back for a while. He didn't have enough time to kind of convert to center, which is what their plan was, because he's been injured. And now I don't know what the answer is. I like the idea of maybe moving Tevin Jenkins. You know, Olin in the pregame talked about this idea of trying to load up on one side of the ball, put your tight end out there as an extra lineman, and try to run the ball. You know, create a one grouping of your best players and run the damn football behind
them. Did he mention Jenkins?
He mentioned moving Tevin Jenkins in that, and then creating just sort of this super side to the line.
I also think we need to make a vow as a show, as a maybe a football city, which is ridiculous because nobody's ever going to agree on this. But the next time the Bears have a top pick or a first round pick or a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And the debate is between wide receiver, who I think Roma Dunze is going to be a tremendous pro.
Yes.
But if the debate is between skill.
He wanted to trade up for him, by the way.
Or strength.
Yeah.
Line or talent. I think you want to lean toward line, because you're going to regret it later if you don't.
Can I say that of all the great things we have said about polls, maybe the one thing we haven't mentioned enough is that for an offensive lineman, and they did dig out some tape of him playing during that show, the Hard Knock show, he doesn't do a very good job of finding offensive linemen.
No, he has not.
For an offensive lineman whose best friend / assistant is also an offensive lineman, they don't do a very good
job. It's like they were wide receivers. It's
weird.
Like both guys were quarterbacks. It's like they both were guys who didn't spend their college careers with their hand in the dirt, blocking and protecting. I don't understand that. Year three, and you're still waiting for the Ryan Poles offensive line imprint.
Well, I mean, you know, just look at how they've put the group together, right? They drafted Darnell Wright. You know, we'll see.
Check.
They drafted a guy with a first-round pick.
Right. That was good.
They've kept Braxton Jones, who was drafted in, what, the fifth round? I'm just saying.
They could have upgraded there.
Maybe they did with Thamagaji, but he's not able to play yet. They went out and got Nate Davis. That's a giant shrug.
Bad money. It's money, but it's bad money.
That's bad money. You went to free agency. Then you went and got Ryan Bates because you didn't like what was going on with Nate Davis.
Incomplete.
Actually, You thought you'd get a center.
Incomplete with Ryan Bates, too injured to tell.
And you hung on to Tevin Jenkins, and now, you know.
I like Tevin Jenkins.
Sheldon Coleman was a guy that you got as a backup in case your plan to start at center didn't work. So he's played the position before. Hard to tell, though.
Of all those moves, though, the one that grazes the eyebrows the most is that Ryan Poles, offensive line guru, so to speak, supposedly, reportedly, guru, gave all that money to Nate Davis. Didn't vet him, didn't see this in him, and that's costing him now.
Got a guy that everybody said doesn't want to play. Right? Isn't that what I mean, everything you've heard.
That could be true.
Talking to people from Tennessee, but whatever it
was.
There's
also evidence on tape that he can't play.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There's the double whammy.
Whether he wants to or not.
He doesn't want to play.
He can't right now.
And he couldn't anyway.
Ugh.
It's a rough one. All right. 312-644-6767. A lot of people want to check in, and we're going to get right to the phone lines. It is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And we'll get to the phone lines next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
If you look at it, you know, obviously we have 7 sacks, you know, the offensive line, everybody's going to talk about those types of things. And I believe that protection is everybody. You know, protection is the tight ends, it's the runners, it's the offensive line, it's the quarterback. It's everybody involved. So we got to do a really good job with that and taking a look at that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Matt Eberflus. He's noticed that the offensive line isn't doing so well.
Well, that was impossible to ignore last night.
Uh-huh.
That was the biggest reason that they were out of the game, that they could convince people that they were in based on the score. But that was not a one-possession game.
No.
The Bears are not one possession away from being the Houston Texans. They are one season away, not a possession. That game was not as close as the score indicated.
No. All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. We got to get to the phone lines. We will start in order. Aaron was first up. Aaron's on the road. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, gentlemen. You know, one of my favorite movies is a Patrick Broderick movie. It's got a young Denzel Washington in it and Morgan Freeman. And in the scene in the movie, the guy there's a friend that the general is trying to protect. And his captain tells him, let him grow up some more. Let Caleb grow up some more. He got sacked 7 times. 4 of those sacks was on him. They were 3-step drops. The ball was supposed to come out. For whatever reason, it didn't. I'm with y'all. They should address the offensive line, but we all knew that coming into the season. And come on, y'all. They traveled down to Texas, played a playoff team, and regardless of what y'all say, the score says it was 1 score away. They were competitive.
They
scored.
They covered. The spread was 6 in the hook. They won that game by the hook if you're in Vegas.
Aaron, nobody is being unfair or over the top criticizing Caleb Williams. Not yet. I think we're trying to put this into perspective. It's early.
We're waiting a few weeks.
No, we're waiting some time, weeks.
Yeah.
I think we have probably fans who are ready to pounce now. We're seeing the text line. I get the reaction too about, hey, Haw, you didn't see this one coming, did you? I think you have to be fair in the criticism of the quarterback who had no time to throw. But everyone watched the same game. You can look at the score and fool yourself into thinking it was a 6-point difference, but it was much more than that.
Let's try Andy. Andy's on the road. Hey, Andy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I've been watching the same Bears game over and over and over again for decades, where the defense plays great. The offense can't do anything. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. You mentioned the offensive line. Williams will not survive the season if he keeps getting hit like this. And the other thing is, I mean, basically what they did was provide a blueprint for every other team that plays them is just bring pressure until they figure out how to block it. It's going to keep happening. And, you know, you draft this guy number 1 overall. It's kind of like, you know, you've got a Ferrari and then you're filling it up with ethanol. It's just, you know, I mean, this guy is never going to survive the season if he keeps getting these kind of hits, and they've got to do something about it. One quick baseball nugget for you. With the White Sox winning those two games against the A's, they now have 24 wins against the American League. The Cubs have 26.
Nice.
Thanks, Andy. Nice little nugget there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have seen this game before.
As if the Cubs are better than the Sox.
Almost as if. The Bears have historically not had a strong offensive line to protect a not-so-strong quarterback. This has been the story of the past decade.
That's very funny that he's seen the same game.
Again and again.
That's true.
The same season is unfolding in front of us. The defense deserves better. The defense will keep these teams, you know, within reach, and then the offense will find a way to squander that opportunity.
312-644-6767. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. A lot of good points already made. David, your comment about should they have taken Odunze, I thought it then. I thought it was a luxury they absolutely could not afford. We said it ahead of time. So a couple guys that I watched yesterday, I watched the Chargers game. Joe Alt does not look like a rookie.
Right.
Murdering people and Harbaugh back to his old tricks. Awesome offensive line. Then I watched the Cowboys game, and this rookie tackle from Oregon State was absolutely mauling anyone that got in his way. And I was just thinking, watching those earlier games, I'm like, man, those guys would look good on our team. But I think Mully had the line of the morning, and I think this is going to be the line for the season. Degrees of awful. And here's the issue, Mully. It's a great comment because that is our line. Tevin Jenkins wants to get paid. He can't defend himself. He's as bad as the center. And here's the other thing that should terrify everyone. Watching that Packers game yesterday, watching them dismantle the Colts with one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the league, that coach up there, that was such a good game plan. And the Vikings are really good too. So are the Lions. Anyone that thinks there's going to be double-digit wins on this team is out of their mind with this O-line. And I'm still not blaming Williams because he's running for his life. He, once again, like last week, very inaccurate. But how can you tell? He's running for his life. But that's the line of the year, Mully. Degrees of awful. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, the Packers called a smart game with Malik Willis, who was very efficient, didn't get him beat, and they ran the ball down the Colts' throats.
How did that guy win a game? I mean, he didn't win it, but how did the Flower managed to win without a quarterback?
Because what did Caleb Williams do the week before? We talked about it all week. He didn't turn over the football.
Yeah.
You protect the football. You have one job if you are in Malik Willis's role. Don't get your team beat.
What did you think of his interceptions?
Malik Willis?
No.
Caleb Williams. That he was trying to do too much, or his accuracy was not where it needs to be. A combination of both. He was trying to make a play, and he underestimated
the first one,
the ability of defensive backs to make plays.
Because you're throwing at DJ Moore, and you're thinking if he doesn't get the ball, he'll keep the other guy from getting it. So whatever that was. But the second one was into triple coverage, and you got to admit,
bad judgment.
He had freed himself from like a sure sack. Everybody's coming behind him, and he got rid of the ball.
He's trying to make something happen.
Yeah,
because
but
he's frustrated. He should have thrown it away. Yeah. And his inaccuracy on some of these passes down the field has been surprising and disappointing. But you also think he feels rushed. Not making excuses for him, but he's experiencing things that at the NFL level he's never really experienced before. And
no, I got to tell you, the best moment of the broadcast, and there weren't a ton of them, for some reason, Collinsworth was driving me crazy. I don't know why. I think it's like he got this idea in his head that the quarterbacks were excellent and they were the future of the NFL, and he was going to compliment them regardless.
I know. Early on, especially.
It's just weird.
He overstated how Caleb Williams was playing. He overstated how good he was looking, because I felt like, just stop talking, because he wasn't playing that well.
Yes.
And you don't want to try to. It sounded like he was built in excuses or trying to prop him up for reasons that
it was just bothering me. And I don't usually disconnect with him, but it was. But when he said, or when they discussed that after that game, Caleb Williams came in and sat and listened to what they had to say to him.
And they coached him hard.
And they coached him, and he took the coaching. Yeah. That's good stuff. That is really a good sign, and that made me feel better the rest of the night.
I don't think we're going to have to worry about Caleb Williams tuning anybody out.
Right.
I think he's going to be as committed as the next guy, as anybody in that building. That's why you need to help him.
Yes.
Help him help himself. He's going to be committed. Now you got to be committed to improving the people around him so he's got a chance.
All right, we've got Olin Krutz. We're going to bring in Olin next. We'll talk about what went down with the Bears in the division, the whole nine yards. We've got Olin Krutz next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!